till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you in me. Fill me with nothing less. I need more of you. Give me your love, and the world can have the rest. Oh, I could never. Your warmth and your love. Oh, I need more of you. I need more of you. I need more of you in me. Till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now, Lord, from the start to the finish. I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you. Oh, I need more of you in me.
Amen. Is that your prayer tonight?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you love him? Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Will you serve him? Amen. Will you serve him? Will you serve him? Amen. 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 Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Oh, amen.
Let's stand and sing it.
The prophet said it, amen. Oh, I believe it, amen. That settles it, amen. Oh, amen, amen. Will you serve him, amen. Oh, will you serve him, amen. Will you serve him? Amen. home with him. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. Will you serve him? Amen. Do you believe him? Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. The prophet said it. Amen, and I believe it. Amen. Well, church, that settles it. Foreknowledge, amen. Predestinated, amen. 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 I'm going home in a rapture. Said it. For we believe it, so that settles it. Amen. 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 You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You were in God's thinking. Church say to all the word of God, oh, we're resting on it. Amen. 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 Let the church say, God bless you. Good to be back in church again together. Amen. Good to see Brother Hoover and Sister Jeannie back and Sister Stephanie back for at least one service. And then she's leaving us again for a few services. But good to be, have us all back for a while. So at least one service. Amen. Good to be in church.
Amen.
Amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Right.
I told some of them down in Georgia, I haven't found that quote where he said, I was glad when he said, let us stay home and stream, or let us sit home and criticize, or, you know, I've never found those scriptures, but he said, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Got a few announcements that we want to make. Lord willing, we'll be having a baptismal service here Sunday evening, October the 15th. So if you or anybody that you know wants to be baptized, that'd be a good time to do it. Sunday evening, October the 15th, we'll be having a baptismal here. And then our youth Bible study for October is going to actually be on Friday, October the 27th. We normally have it on a Thursday evening, but I've asked Brother Daniel Andes if he would be the speaker for the youth Bible study that time. And because they have a Thursday night service there, we're going to have it on a Friday evening this time. That's for the single youth ages 10 to 30. Here at the church in the fellowship area, Friday, October the 27th from 7:30 to 9:30. And we'll keep reminding you of those things a little closer till then. Got a couple testimonies we want to share. Little Anna Irwin, she was able to go home from the hospital yesterday afternoon, and she's felt great ever since, Sister Mita told us, so praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Furman sends this in. He said, while throwing baseball at the park with Christian, the ball hit him in the nose and it immediately started bleeding. We didn't have a prayer cloth with us, but I opened the Bible on my phone and read Ezekiel 16:6. Then April, Christian, and I had prayer, and by the time we were done praying, his nose had stopped bleeding.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess God didn't care whether it was read off of a page or off of a phone or off of a scroll or a sheepskin or what. It was just the word of God. Amen. Amen. He's the high priest of our confession. Amen. So glad to hear that testimony again. Amen. God's good. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Gabe says, Serenity Bryant, she's been sick for a week. Want to remember her in prayer. I want to remember Sister Layton in prayer. Brother Yarbrough, he made it safely home, but he just got in a few minutes ago, so he won't be here until Sunday morning. Want to remember him in prayer, just that the Lord will help him recoup from his travels. And then want to remember the Heron Bassick family. They're going to be traveling this week, I believe, so want to remember them in prayer. And Sister Patty Ard, she had outpatient surgery on Monday, but it went well. But we want to continue to remember her in prayer. Sister Estera, she had some blood work done on Monday and a CT scan on Wednesday, I guess this morning. And she's doing well, but because of all the dye and things due to, I'm not going to say her diabetes, but due to the fact that the doctors have diagnosed her with diabetes, they have some concerns about that and wanting to watch everything and make sure that everything's okay there. But we're just believing that it will be. And so I want to remember her in prayer. And then also I want to continue to remember Joshua Southworth, the young man from Colorado. He's 17 years old. And the doctors say he's paralyzed. They say he'll never walk again. They say he may not live. But the Holy Ghost says all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. I know a lot of prayers have gone up for him, but we remember him again tonight in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. I'm going to ask Brother Hoover if he'd come this evening and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
God bless you. It's good to be home. Good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. And it's good to see Brother Furman get us all practicing. Now, we have no excuse not to say amen to what Brother Nathan preaches. Because he heard every one of you able to say amen. So, that's right. That's right. It's going to be a good service. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this evening. Lord, as Peter said so many years ago, where else would we go? Who would we turn to, Lord? For thou alone have the words of eternal life. You use a man in a pulpit to speak those words, but Lord, those words come from you, and that's what we're expecting tonight, Lord. We came, Lord, our Jesus, believing that our hungry hearts reaching out to you, you would feed us, Lord, from your word. And we're just under expectation of that this evening. Now, we have these requests that are laying here. They've been read aloud, Lord. I don't remember them all, but Lord, I know that you know all about it. You knew about it before it even took place. And Lord, you had a purpose, you had a reason, you had a plan that these things took place. It wasn't just to be vindictive, it wasn't just to be mean to somebody, but it was to bring out that character, to bring out that life that's inside of us. Lord, you wanted to draw it to the surface and show the devil, I do have a bride in this day. I do have people that will stand for my name and live the life. Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight for each of these requests as we lay our hands upon them. Lord, we just believe that you're working right now in every one of those. Lord, from the ones in Delaware to the ones, Lord, in Colorado and points beyond. And Lord, those here in the local assembly, we believe, Lord, your Jesus. And you said if we would believe, Lord, all things are possible. And we claim that now in Jesus' name. And we give you glory and praise. We just ask, Lord, that you would come in our midst tonight, Lord, and just accept our worship and our praise and feed us with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special treat. Sister Rebecca's Sunday School class is going to sing for us.
Brother Nathan, we want to sing this song in honor of you and because the Lord has put on your heart to preach on how to find a Pharisee.
I don't want. This time we have a... well done. Good job. Sure appreciate that. Amen. This time we have a special from Brother Isaac Weber.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Page 228, if y'all want to sing along, you can. Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. As I travel through this pilgrim's land, there is a friend who walks with me, and he leads me safely through the sea. He sent for us the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me the best. Day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen. We're singing, Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, for I need the help. All through this pilgrim land, protect me by.
Jesus, hold my hand, for I
and through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power, yes, evil please. Oh Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Amen.
Sure appreciate our special singing tonight. If the brothers would please come at this time. Won't you bless that wonderful name of Jesus? Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Let's bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Like no other name I know. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Jesus, there's healing in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Sing it tonight. There's love in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus. There's love in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Oh, won't you bless that wonderful name of Jesus? Oh, bless that wonderful name of my Jesus.
Turn around and greet your neighbor tonight.
Since I laid all my burdens down. Jesus. Amen. You appreciate his presence?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that you blessed us with. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. Lord, without you, where would we be? Lord, as St. Peter stood that day, and there had been many that had walked away and left Jesus. They had walked away from the message of their age. And he turned around, no doubt, even knowing before the foundation of the world, those that would leave, yet in his human body, having friendships and compassion and sympathy for these who he knew many of them were walking straight into the pits of hell, and that their soul would never be in eternity. No doubt it broke his heart to see him walk away. He turned to Peter, Lord, and you said, would you go too? Peter spoke those words, to whom would we go, Father? Lord, that's how I feel tonight about it. Lord, where could we go? Where could we turn to? Where could we go, Father, where we could have this blessed assurance and this blessed peace of mind, knowing that you're walking with us, Lord, and that you speak to us, that you lead us and you guide us. Oh, where could I go? Where could I turn, Lord, but to you? Lord, we thank you for coming again tonight and being with us. We just ask you to be in the continuation of the service. Lord, may you do something supernatural here tonight. Lord, maybe there's some that have lived under fear for years. Maybe they've lived down. Satan's tried to tell them, well, you can't do this and you can't do that, and tried to choke them back, Father. But may they recognize tonight that they're free.
Yeah.
That whoever the Son has set free is free indeed. They're free to worship. They're free to praise. They're free to lift up their hands that used to hang down in disappointment, that used to hang down in shame because of the way they lived and the way they acted. Now they can lift those hands and say, blessed be the name of the Lord that came and changed my way of living, that came and changed me from that vile creature that I used to be into what I am now. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We may not be what we want to be. We may not even be what we ought to be, Father, but we thank you that we're not what we used to be, Lord. We thank you that you've brought us a mighty long way, Lord. We just ask you to continue to lead us and guide us and bless us, Father. Lord, whatever you would have us to do, may we never be ashamed of anything that you would lay on our hearts to do, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
I'm going to go ahead and let you be seated for a moment. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I just wanted to take a moment before we get into the service, although I feel like we've already got into the service. But before we go into the sermon, I just want to take a few minutes to thank these brothers that have helped so much while I've been gone. I mentioned it briefly Sunday, but Brother Hoover wasn't here, and he was part of that, so I wanted to wait till he was here. But I appreciate Brother Hoover and Brother Layton and Brother Arnie. What they did while I was gone, the preaching of the word, the brothers introducing the tapes and being here to help the people, to visit the sick and the needy, and appreciate Brother Furman, how he leads the song services. Paul looked out at many of them, you know, great men like Timothy and Luke and Titus and different great men that their names will live in eternity because they're part of the word of God and they're part of the great plan of God. And he said, they're my fellow helpers in the gospel. And that's how I feel about these brothers. I don't feel like, you know, we don't have any big I's and little U's and big chiefs and little chiefs and things like that. But I feel like they're my fellow helpers in the gospel, my fellow laborers in this gospel of Jesus Christ that he's given us in this last age by the revelation of the word, the message that we follow. I appreciate brothers like that I can have confidence in. And you just don't know until you've been a pastor what it means to have brothers standing there for you that you can get away without stressing and worrying and biting your fingernails and sweating it out, you know, but brothers that you can appreciate and respect and have confidence in. Our deacon brothers, they do such a wonderful job and making the people welcome and making those that don't need to be welcome not welcome, they do a wonderful job, and the trustees have did such a wonderful job while we've been gone painting the sanctuary, and the brothers, some of the brothers helped them. I think Brother David Andes and Brother Joel and Brother Randy and Brother Brother Lee and different ones helped them with getting some things started with the handicap restroom that we're trying to put in and different things that they're trying to accomplish. And we certainly appreciate all the hard work, certainly appreciate every effort. And we're a body of Jesus Christ. It takes all of us working together. I talked to a brother yesterday on the phone, and he, most of you have probably never heard of him. His name isn't in lights anywhere. I don't know that his name's on the internet anywhere, but he feels led to witness to truck drivers, and he purchased a little trailer that he parks at a truck stop, and he has services there for whosoever will let him come. And he's been witnessing to truck drivers and things, trying to tell them about the message. And there's a brother that from up near Brother Hoover there in Salem that's starting to accept the message. And he called me and asked if he could send them our way. And I said, certainly. Amen. Brother Branham said, he said, if I could ask for anything for a church, they said, Brother Branham, what would you ask? Would you ask for gifts? Would you ask for great things? What would you ask for? He said, if I could ask for one quality to be in my church, he said, it would be a burden for lost souls. And I think many times if we're not careful, we get complacent about lost souls. We, you know, we're comfortable and we've come and we've accepted and we believe and we do and all that. That's wonderful. But if it's really something that's incredible to you, it should be something that you want to tell somebody else about. If you have a favorite restaurant, you don't just hoard that to yourself, but you want to tell somebody else, my, you should try the burger down at this place, or you should try the steak down here, or the baked potato over there. And we won't get too much into that, or you'll just be thinking about Burger King and Dairy Queen. But when there's something that you're excited about, it's something that you want to share with somebody else. If you read a book that is just, my, it was written so wonderfully and blessed your soul, you want to share it with somebody else. So how much should we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? When it changed our life, amen, from what we used to be to what we are now, it ought to make us want to share it with others. Well, we are going to look at these Pharisees again tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. St. Luke chapter 19, and we want to begin with verse 37. This is as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry. Verse 37 of St. Luke chapter 19. It says, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Surely it didn't say that. They began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. It was something that they were excited about it, that they began to raise up their voice in praises, and they began to sing Hosanna to the King. Verse 38 says, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now they're shouting out and they're singing the praises of God with a loud voice, but there was a certain group of people there that didn't appreciate this. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. What a hypocritical statement. Them calling him master, knowing in their heart they didn't believe he was their master. All right. If they really and truly believed that he was their master, when they saw him riding into the city, they would have been the loudest one crying out and singing, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But they said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. Oh my, can you imagine if he had, and the rocks had begun to cry out? You know, he said something about that. He said, I believe it was St. Paul said, ye are lively stones. Ye are lively stones. There's something about it. You know, you see a stone, it has no movement on its own. Now, if the sands begin to shift due to the weather and climate and rains washing it out, gravity will take its toll and that stone will begin to move. But there's not a stone that ever, you know, just got up and moved around on its own that I know of, except that one that followed Moses in the wilderness. Right. And Brother Branham tells us that that rock was the rock Jesus Christ. And wherever they went, that rock followed them. But he said, if these hold their peace, somebody's going to praise me. Somebody is going to sing the praises of God. And he looked around. He didn't see anything else there but some rocks. Now, if there had been, you know, some antelope and some deer and some rabbits, maybe he would have said they would have praised him. There was a donkey one time that spoke the praises of God. So no doubt he could do that. If he would have looked around, he would have seen little children or little babies. Maybe he would have said they would praise him. But he looks around. All he sees is some rocks. And he says, if these be quiet, the rocks will cry out in their stead because something is going to praise me. Oh, my, I wish Brother Isaiah Brooks was here. He could sing that song, you know, I ain't going to let no tree take my place, and I ain't going to let no rock take my place. Right. Amen. I don't want no rock taking my place.
Amen.
I don't want to ever be in a place to where God has to raise up an infidel or a donkey or a stone or a tree or something else to speak the glory of God because I failed to. Oh, my, may we always speak the praises of God. Now, Brother Branham says, and go tell my disciples, in 1953, he said, when Jesus came walking into Jerusalem, and they cut down palms and began to scream and cry and carry on like that, some of those starchy Pharisees said, make them hold their peace. Why they give us the shivers? Oh, how them people are screaming and carrying on. He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. He said, something has to come. When life comes amongst death, there is resurrection. Amen. Bound to be. There's something about it that when life comes around anything that's dead, it begins to produce a resurrection. There could be, you know, an old tree that sits out here in the fall and it looks like it's dead and it's withered and its limbs are hanging around, but the springtime begins to come and what looked like it was dead, when life begins to quicken, it brings a resurrection.
Amen.
And those dead limbs that you could just see through to your neighbor's house and on down through, all of a sudden they begin to spring forth life and little leaves begin to pop off here and pop off there, and before you know it, you can't even see the neighbor's house. What was it? Life came, and there was a resurrection.
Amen.
That took place. There was something about it when this man that they called Beelzebub, this man that they said came by the wrong type of birth, this man that they tacked all kinds of names on him, when he walked down to the grave of Lazarus, the Bible said in St. John 11, verse 43, it said, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Lazarus, come forth. There was something about it. When life got around death, it produced a resurrection. We don't have any scripture of Jesus ever preaching a funeral because whenever Jesus came, the funeral was over. Jesus only attended a handful of funerals, but the ones that he did, that was all that she wrote. There was no more funeral. No doubt the widow of Cana, she had all kinds of plans. She had went down and you know, in her grief, she had picked out the casket, Brother Hoover. In her grief, she had went into her little boy's closet and she had picked out the set of clothes that she was going to bury him in. In her grief, she had went down and she had invited the special singers that were going to sing at the funeral. She had went down and invited her favorite priest, the one that had the most effect on her little boy, to come and preach the funeral. And she had made all of these preparations, not recognizing that she was preparing in vain. Because there was a man that happened to be coming through the city at the same time. And all of her efforts and all of her plans and all of her well intentions, even in her grief, yet he comes along and he didn't say some great swelling prayer. He didn't quote the whole Bible to her. He didn't read her the whole seventh seal. He just laid his hand upon the casket. And a boy that had been dead, it doesn't tell us how many days he was dead. I don't know if he was dead an hour. I don't know if he was dead 3 days. I don't know how long he was dead. But this little boy that was dead, when life passed death, it produced a resurrection.
Amen.
And this little boy sat up and death knew its maker.
Right.
Oh my, it'll produce a resurrection in you.
Yes, sir.
When life comes by your way. You were once dead in sins and trespasses. You didn't do anything to deserve it. All of your good works, all of your self-righteousness was nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. But you who were dead in sins and trespasses, St. Paul said, hath he quickened.
Yes.
Life came by where it was just an old dead carcass of sin and disgrace and shame. But life came by and it produced a resurrection where there had only been death.
Amen.
I will restore 1955. Brother Branham says this group of Jesus had God with them. This group of Jesus had God with them. They had healing. They had miracles. They had visions. They had joy. Why, when he come into the temple, they screamed so loud, the Pharisees said, make them hold their peace. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. Something has to happen when the Lord comes into his camp. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we've seen it. Something has to take place. You may not want to admit it, and you may not be in the mind frame to accept it, but when Jesus Christ comes into his own camp, something is going to take place. Amen. Everybody may not respond the same, but something is going to take place. Amen. There's something about it. When Jesus comes on the scene, it produces something within us. Now, it may produce something on this side of the aisle that it doesn't produce over here, and it may produce something in this pew that it doesn't produce in that pew, but if it's really Jesus Christ coming into his camp, it will produce something. Amen. If it doesn't, then you should ask yourself, did I come in the wrong attitude? Did I come in not prepared? Did I come in just my own self-will preventing me from doing anything that God would place upon me to do? What is it? Right. When Jesus comes into his camp, something is going to happen. Now, some of you may just raise your hands and just shake them back and forth, and maybe you just can't even express it like maybe somebody else that's jumping up and down and running the aisles. Maybe you can't express it like a sister that's screaming and shouting. Maybe the tears just begin to run down your face, and you begin to lift up your face to heaven and begin to thank him for all that he's done to you. It may not produce itself in the exact same way in you that it would in somebody else, but it will produce something if he comes into the camp. And you're in the camp. Now, coming into the camp doesn't just mean coming into the building or coming into the city, but the body of Jesus Christ, there's not a building or an address that I can point you to. I can't point you to 1221 Silver Street and say, this is it. This is the church of God. Because, you know, there's many people that will darken our doorway that will never be part of the church of God. I'm not talking about the domination. I'm talking about, as Brother Branham calls it, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You cannot join it. You cannot ask somebody to let you in. You cannot put your name on the book. You can't attend the services there. You can't stream the services. You can't archive the services. You can't go and get their articles of what their law bylaws are. It's a body movement that was before the foundation of the world. You can't join it. You can't come into it. You were either part of it before the foundation of the world, or you never will be. There's one way that you can come into it. Brother Bam said, you're born into it. You're born into it. Something has to happen when the Lord God comes into his camp. He said, God is here. Watch where the Spirit moves. That's why we got persecution, is because God is vindicating that he's here. Hallelujah. Isn't it sad that some of the things that we receive persecution about are some of the things that we're so happy about? You know, some people come, they say, we don't want to go over there. They're too friendly. Everybody wants to shake your hand. Bless God. Amen. Praise God. Hey, man, I hope they go and tell everybody that. I hope they post it on Facebook. I hope they paste it on Twitter. I hope they post it all over the internet. I hope they even tell John Collins and Rod Bergen and some of these guys about it, how we couldn't even go to that church because they were so sickening friendly. They just oozed with the love of Jesus Christ, and I couldn't hardly handle it. Everybody wanted to greet me. Everybody wanted to ask me how I was doing. Everybody wanted to pray for me. Oh, boo. I guarantee you those same type of people, if they attended another church, their criticism would be that enough people didn't shake their hands, or enough people didn't want to make them welcome, or enough people weren't friendly to them. There's some people that you just can't please. There are some people that you absolutely cannot please. Now, Jesus came to the earth and he helped those who would allow him to help them. There were 10 lepers that came one day to Jesus, and he helped all 10 of them as much as he could. But there was one that he could help a little further than the other 9 because of their response to his word and because of the response to what he was saying and what he was doing. He helped all 10 of them as far along as he could, but there was one he could help further, not because Jesus Jesus didn't have power to help the other nine. Don't let the devil put that in your mind. It was because these other nine weren't willing. They didn't want to thank him. They didn't want to praise him. They didn't want to do their part of it. They wanted him to do everything. Many times that's how we are. Jesus, come and bless us with this. And it's like a Sears wish book. Lord, we want this and we want that. And help Timmy with this and Tommy with that and Susie with this. And Lord, we want. We give him our great big list and we say, now you take care of it, Lord. And we're just going to go in here and camp out. No, there's more to it than that. There's something that you have to do. There's a watering of the word that you have to do in your life. There's a faith that you have to have in your life. He's already said the word, but let me tell you, there will be multiplied millions that will read this book and will never be able to produce the same things that we see being produced in message churches around the world. It's not because the word is different for them. It's the same exact word, but it's because they don't have the ability to step up into a higher plane of faith to be able to accept what was done. Many of it at times is because they haven't had a prophet that came and restored it back to them. Maybe they've heard about it. Maybe they've criticized it. But they haven't allowed God to bless them in that way. Man. You know, there's many of you that get excited. Oh, my, bless God, Brother Nathan's back. And oh, my, praise God. You know, God's anointing him and God's going to, I can't wait till Wednesday night to hear what he's going to say about the Pharisees. The very thing that you're excited about is some of the things that we get the most persecution for. Isn't that strange? Isn't it a paradox? Something that you would be excited about? Some of you can't wait to get in here and hear Brother Joshua or Sister Stephanie play the piano, and other people would say, oh my, we tried to go over there and it just sounded like a bunch of rock and roll music to me. Well, that just shows what spirit that they're of. They couldn't have handled it when David began out to get out there, and it said he played mightily on the stringed instruments, and he told him, he said, play loud on the sounds, loud sounding cymbals, and play with the organ, and play with this, and play with that. And he began to get so excited, he began to dance around the ark, and he began to run around the city, and he began to dance and jump up and down, feel the presence of God. And his wife looked out the window and said, look at that holy roller down there. And God said, that's right, and I'm going to shut your womb for the rest of your life because you spoke against what I was trying to do. It's the same thing in this age. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost, God will shut that spiritual womb and they'll never be able to receive life. Amen. Jesus said, all sins are forgiven except to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. He said it'll never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Now Paul comes around and says, I did blaspheme, but I did it through ignorance. He did it through ignorance. Thou son of David, have mercy on me, 1961. And you know, there's something another about it. Where Jesus is, you always hear a lot of noise. When I go into a church and, you know, you have to borrow Brother Buckle's hearing aids to hear the song leader, and you got to sit real close to the speaker to be able to hear what the piano player's even hearing, and you know, you got to get down and strain to hear an amen or a hallelujah. And the preacher gets out and he begins to talk so soft and so slow that, you know, he would put somebody to sleep that hadn't been able to have good sleep in about 17 years. And they were on all kinds of pills and medication. And you could roll them into his service and sit them there on the front row and they would get the best sleep that they ever got in their life. I begin to wonder, there's something wrong. There's something wrong here somewhere, because the prophet of God said, where Jesus is, let me read it to you again. Where Jesus is, you always hear a lot of noise. Now, there's been a lot of noise down through the ages. You know, the Pentecostals had plenty of noise, but the problem of it was a lot of the noise was an uncertain sound. You can go out and have a trumpet. You can play a lot of noise and a lot of sound. You know, some of your kids, they begin to play a violin. They can play a lot of noise, but it's an uncertain sound. They screech back and forth. And you think, oh, Lord, please just let them take up a quieter instrument. Please let them take something that I can hook headphones to and just put them in their room and shut the door and they can have at it, because it's an uncertain sound. It's not something that's pleasing to the ear. And sometimes even when it is a certain sound and when it's exactly in line with the word, all that people hear is a lot of noise and a lot of racket, because their ear has never been tuned in to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. They may have heard a lot of things of days gone by. They may have heard about Noah, and they may have heard of David, and they may have heard of dreaming Joseph, and they may have heard of little David and his sling, and they may have heard the story told of Jonah and the whale, and they've heard all these stories, but they've never really been able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so when the Spirit begins to move, it's just a bunch of noise, and it's just a bunch of racket and a bunch of excitement to them. But to somebody whose ear has been tuned to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, they begin to recognize, that was for me. That was what I needed to hear. That is what God is saying in this age. God is trying to correct. God is trying to trim down. God is still speaking to the church in this age, and they begin to recognize it because their ear is attuned to what the Spirit is saying. I can't teach you that. I can't give you a certificate. I can't give you that revelation by just my own will. It takes some time on your knees getting to know the author. Amen. Brother Brandon said, he said a man began to criticize him, you know, and said, you don't even know the Bible. You don't even know your Greek, and you don't even know this, and you don't even know that. He said, well, sir, he said, I may not know the book very well, but he said, one thing about it, I do know the author real well. Amen. There was something about it. He knew the author real well. This brother may have been able to quote him, you know, quote circles around Brother Branham as far as his own intellectual memory and things like that. He may have been able to preach it in 17 different languages. And Brother Branham wouldn't maybe, unless the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, had a bit more idea what he was saying than anything, preaching in many different languages. But I wonder if he knew the author quite as well as Brother Branham did. All right. I wonder if he recognized the authors. Brother Arnie was talking about how Oral Roberts tried to lay hands on him, on Brother Branham, and take that spirit off of him that was trying to, you know, preach so hard to the women. I thank God that Oral Roberts, or no demon out of hell, or no minister, no matter how anointed, no prince, no king, no prophet, could have taken that spirit off of him. Amen, because that spirit was back before the foundation of the world, predestinated to be in him. And I thank God that we have a portion of that same spirit within us, that it doesn't matter what they say or what they do, they can't take it from us because God gave it to us. Amen. Something about it that, Brother Nathan, why don't you let me pray for you that God would take that spirit off of you that would make you do this or make you do that. If it's doing something that's right in line with the word, don't pray that spirit off of me.
Amen.
Hey, man, I wonder. No doubt, I hope I see Brother Oral there. Brother Branham typed him and Billy Graham to the two messengers that went down to Sodom. I certainly hope I'll see him there. I think I will, the two messengers that went to Sodom. But yet, I wonder if they had a speck or an ounce of the relationship that Brother Branham did with the author. Right. I wonder if they knew him quite as well. But there's something about it. When we begin to hear the word go forth, it's just noise to some people. And to others, they say, that's what I've waited for my entire life. I've been listening, and there's something about it. Those chickens down in the barnyard, when that eagle began to fly over and it began to scream, it probably scared those chickens to death. All they could probably think was, oh, God, I hope that eagle had something for lunch. Or if not, I'm going to be it. And that eagle began to swim, to fly over and begin to fan those feathers and begin to cry out and to scream. And, you know, those little chickens, they'd been clucking around down in the barnyard, eating on a manure pile, and peck, peck over here, and peck, peck over here, post, post over here, and post, post over there, posting this on Facebook, posting this on their websites, posting this on Twitter, and all these kinds of things, talking negative about eagles. And then finally, an eagle of God began to come down one day, and they couldn't even stand straight in the barnyard. Those great wings begin to fan back and forth, maybe a 40-foot wingspan, and begin to blow, and they'd never seen wings like that before. Oh, they had their little bitty wings that they would flap around and say, well, we just believe this, and we believe the days of miracles has passed, and we think this was for another age, and we don't believe in divine healing anymore. And they'd flap around about enough to get them almost up to the fence pole, and then they'd fall back down, you know, and couldn't get out of their denominational fences. But when this great turbine wings began to beat together, it was just blowing them all over the barnyard. And then one was going up against this fence, and one was going up against that chicken coop, and one was going up against the barn. And they thought, goodness gracious, what is taking place here? The sun was arising with healing in his wings.
Amen.
They couldn't handle that type of power. So they had to speak evil against it, of course. But there was some of us that recognized, that's the voice that I've been listening to my whole life. And some of those little chickens thought, oh my goodness, that eagle is so loud. And, you know, and he... And that scream just gives me shivers all over. I can't hardly handle it when he does that. And oh my, you know, I'm used to somebody that clucks a little quieter than the eagle. Where Jesus is, you always hear a lot of noise. I don't know why, but it's just that way. Wherever you find Jesus, you find a lot of noise. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 59, when they were stoning Stephen, it says they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Most of us, if they had been taking rocks and beating us up against the side of the head with them, we would have been real lucky if we could have said that under our breath. But he says it to where the whole crowd, those that had big stones and little stones and medium-sized stones, everyone that was going and reaching, he didn't just say this under his breath. He didn't say it half-heartedly. He didn't say it just because he thought that he should, because it was the right thing to do. He kneels down and he cries with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Right. And when he had said this, didn't say he died. Right. He fell asleep. Right. Amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leapt and walked." Amen. Now today they do it, you know, God loves you. And, you know, we don't want to offend anybody that might not agree in divine healing. Just come back here to the back room and we'll pray real quietly for you. Paul wasn't afraid who had offended. He wasn't afraid who didn't believe in divine healing and who did. He wanted to let the devil know where he stood. And he said, "Stand upright on thy feet." I want to say, that, you know, there's many around the message still, even some of them claiming to profess the message. They're ashamed of these pictures. They're ashamed to put a picture of Brother Branham on their website, or ashamed to put a picture in their churches. They're ashamed to read quotes over the pulpit anymore. I want to say that I'm not ashamed. Amen. And when we go to the restaurant, you know, I when we begin to talk about Brother Branham, I don't say, "Now, Brother Hoover, talk a little quieter, brother, because there might be somebody in here, you know, that's heard some of this other stuff, and we wouldn't want to offend them by mentioning Brother Branham's name in this restaurant." Oh, no. No, they'll drive by you, you know, they'll be in front or behind you at a drive-thru, and they'll crank up their music so loud, it won't just rattle their trunk and their windows, it'll rattle your trunk and your windows. Right. So some of these that, you know, they claim to be offended by the gospel, well, you know, we put up with a lot of things that's offensive to us, but I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be ashamed to bow my head in public. I'm not going to be ashamed to pray. I'm not going to be ashamed to put what we believe on the internet. Or I'm not going to be ashamed to testify to somebody. I'm not going to be ashamed to have pictures up in my church or on my website. I'm not going to be ashamed to read the quotes in the scriptures. I am not ashamed of this gospel. Amen. I'm ashamed. I can look back through my life, Brother Lee, and there are a lot of things that I'm ashamed of. There are a lot of things that I would be ashamed if my children knew. Just things over the years, mistakes and flaws and things where I've fallen on my face. And if they live long enough, you know, maybe somebody that knew me back once upon a time might share those things with them, and it would embarrass me, even though I share probably a lot more with them than I should. But there's things that I wouldn't want, you know, the people to sit up here and scroll through and say, "Now this is what Nathan thought in 1997, and this is the movie that he watched in 2001, and this is this and this is that." And don't sit there like angels, because you wouldn't either, most of you. Now some of you go ahead and just put it on up on Facebook anyhow for everybody to see, but if we brought your Facebook page up on the screen at church, you might be a little embarrassed. Well, somebody preach with me tonight. Brother Furman already taught you how, and the church said, there you go, you can do it. Amen. I'm used to being down in Florida at black churches. You got to do a little bit better than this. I feel like I'm up north somewhere. Revelations chapter 5 verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice." Now we think, you know, when we all get to heaven, you know, and we expect heaven just to be a place that is just so sweet and so serene. And my, you can hear the river of life trickling down over here, and you can hear this, you know, one over here, and you can hear the birds singing and all these different things. And you know, people come to church and they're as quiet as a church mouse, and they sit there and they think, oh my, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Brother Branham said, this is the quietest place that you will ever be. Let me just say, even if you attend Church of the Open Door, this is the quietest place that you will ever be. He said, if you don't make it and you go to hell, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you get over there into heaven, he said, they'll be screaming and shouting and singing hosannas and praising God. I don't even know how to express it sometimes in this body. Sometimes when the presence of God begins to fall here, and I just literally, all I can do is just sit and or stand and walk or whatever and raise my hands to God. And I don't know verbally how to express it. I don't know. It seems like I don't have the breath to be able to say it or to sing it or to shout it the way that I would like to. But when I get over there in a body that's able to say it and has the breath to say it, and I won't have to worry about breaking a window if I jump off of a roof somewhere. And when we can really just say it like we mean it, when it's no longer just something that we've heard, but when we sit and we look and we see him as he is, the one that paid the price for us, let me tell you, this is the quietest place that you'll ever be.
Amen.
And so John sees this vision up in heaven. He says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Oh my. Revelation chapter 5:11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, I don't know exactly how that works out, because you've got some multiplication there and then you've just got thousands of thousands added. Maybe Sister Julie can explain it because she's a mathematician. But I don't have an exact number for you tonight, but it was a lot of angels.
Right.
10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels saying with a loud voice. Now, if we can get five people to amen real loud, or two, three sisters shouting, we think that's loud. But this was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And here's the part that I like the best. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under all the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I. Now, let's read it again. He's got 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of angels crying with a loud voice. And they're saying blessings and honor and mercy. And then he says, every creature, not just these multiplied thousands of angels, not just those that were beyond the curtain of time, but every creature which is in heaven, every creature which is on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, I believe John got a little beside himself. John got a little excited and he began to scream and to shout, until it wasn't just those in the church that heard him. It wasn't just those down at Walmart or in the parking lot of McDonald's that heard him. But every creature in heaven, every creature in earth, in the sea, under the earth, every creature began to hear him, began to shout and to praise. And we sit there and say, I'm just not very emotional, Brother Hoover. I'm just not a very emotional person.
Come on, preach.
But you go, some of you sisters, and hang a picture on the wall, and you get that hammer and you hit the wrong nail, you hit your thumbnail, and you come and tell me how unemotional you are. Let your husband come and tell me just how unemotional that you are. You let that same godly husband forget your anniversary and come and let me know how unemotional that you are. Some of you brothers that, you know, you like sports or, you know, you like whatever it is, and it comes down to the final game of the final season and the final teams, and your team is one of them, and your favorite player is up for MVP, and he has the highest scoring game that he has ever had in his life at this game, and he can't miss whatever he's doing. If he's throwing the ball to another player down the field, or if he's putting it through a hoop, or if he's kicking it through a soccer net or whatever he's doing, he just can't miss. And it's just on and on and on, and the crowd is freaking out, and your wife is at home praying that you don't break the couch because you're jumping up and down on it, and you know, you just about got it paid off, and she's a little concerned, and you're just ecstatic, you know, you just don't even know what to do with yourself. And then you come to church and I'm pressing on the upward way. I'm just not very emotional, Brother Nathan. What you mean is that you don't get excited about church, is what you mean. What you mean is, I get more excited about the NFL than I do Jesus Christ. What you mean is I get more excited about a car going around a circle for 200 miles and a guy sitting there sweating and drinking and you know, talking to a guy in a CB radio asking him when he needs to change tires more than I love Jesus Christ. But why? You say, no, I don't, Brother Nathan. If it excites you more than this gospel of Jesus Christ, then there's something wrong with our priorities. I don't care if you get excited about NASCAR. That's fine. Go. You know, I wouldn't pay you 15 cents anymore. I used to like it years ago a little bit, but I wouldn't pay you 50 cents to watch a guy drive around in a circle for 3 hours. I can go out and watch my kids on the sidewalk do that. And I can root for them a little bit with a little bit more enthusiasm. But I don't care if you get excited about that. Don't get me wrong tonight. I don't care if you get excited when your favorite player puts a leather ball through a hoop or through a net or through a square or whatever it is. I don't care if you get excited about that, but don't get excited about that. Don't get excited. Don't dance in the spirit when you get your bonus check, but not when the spirit's fallen in the church.
All right.
Some of you, oh, I could never dance in church. I just could never do that. And you open up that mailbox and you got that $4,000 bonus check and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, since I laid that credit card debt down.
Come on.
Or your tax return or your raise or whatever it is. You get so excited. But then we come to church. Oh, my. It's okay to get excited. I get excited when I get a raise or when I get a good tax return or when, you know, when God blesses me with something, I get excited too. But I don't just leave all my excitement there. I bring it to church with me.
All right.
And I saw another mighty angel, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. Brother Branham tells us that this was Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Mm-hmm. Oh my, the quietest place that you'll ever be. I'm trying to hurry tonight. Faith is our victory, 1958. He says, I'm a great believer in emotion. Why don't we ever hear this quote read? You know, you hear people quote all the time that Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost, one of the great mysteries in this last age was the Holy Ghost without emotion. But that's a lie of the devil. He never said that. He never, ever once, you go type it in, he never says the Holy Ghost without emotion. In fact, he says that the Holy Ghost will produce emotion. He says that it will produce his presence. What he said is the Holy Ghost without sensation. That means if Brother Stephen gets the Holy Ghost and he has a sensation and his neck begins to twitch, that means I don't go and say, well, Brother Stephen's neck twitched, so I got to have my neck twitch when the Holy Spirit hits me. That's the Holy Ghost with the sensation. What the Pentecostal did, it wasn't the speaking in tongues and interpreting was wrong. It was that they went down there and they said, because Brother so-and-so spoke in tongues, you got to speak in tongues to get it. That was the Holy Spirit with the sensation. But Brother Branham said there were many that spoke in tongues that didn't get it. And there were some that never spoke in tongues at all and got it. Amen. You can't place a sensation on this and say, well, you know, this one danced, so I got to dance, or this one jerked, so I got to jerk, or this one cried, so I got to cry. I believe it'll bring some type of an emotion, but don't match your experience with somebody else's. Don't bring me some sensation that we've all got to do something to get it. No, the Holy Spirit will fall how He wants, when He wants, anywhere He wants, on anyone He wants.
Amen.
He falls on whosoever that He would like to fall upon. That's who He's going to fall upon. Those that are crying and seeking Him, He wants to give it to you more than you want to have it.
Amen.
And yet many times we sit in fear. Oh my. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost began to fall on him. But we'll look at it next week with the help of the Lord. I don't believe they just sat there and nodded their head. That was sure nice, Brother Peter. That was sure a nice service. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost began to fall upon him.
Amen.
He didn't have to work it up. He didn't have to make it up. He didn't have to fake it. He didn't have to say, play the music just a little bit louder, boys. They're not getting it. The Holy Spirit began to fall. You can't produce this. You can't work it up. I can't tell you what services He's going to fall in a certain way and what services He's going to fall in a different way. All I know is He promised that He'd be here. And that He promised whoever two or three were gathered in His name that He would be here.
Amen.
However He shows up is fine with me.
Right.
Amen. If He shows up and we shout and we dance, praise God. If He shows up and we raise our hands and we cry and we praise God, praise God. I don't care how He comes. I'm just glad He's here.
Amen.
He says, I'm a great believer in emotion. I believe anything hasn't got emotion is dead. Again, the voice of the sign, 1964. Now notice, when His presence is near, it brings emotion. Now this is after the seals, you know. He didn't just say after the seals. Now that the word has been revealed, it's just the word, and you just have to read through it. And if you can believe it and accept it and say, I believe this, and just a little checklist. Amen, I believe all this. No, He didn't just say do away with experience. He didn't just say do away with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do away with your Bible, do away with salvation, just read it and accept it. That's a Pharisee thought. You know, just here's the law of Moses, all you have to do is just accept it. But yet they had the law of Moses and they couldn't accept it when it was made flesh, when Jesus came. But He says, when His presence is near, it brings emotion. Believest thou this, 1953. He says, Aaron, when he went into the holiest of holies once a year, he had to wear a certain kind of garment. And he had to be anointed and he had to take blood with him. Is that right? And on the hem of his garment, he had a pomegranate and a bell, he says. And as he walked, he had to make that play, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Now you talk about knowing how to walk and knowing how to talk. This priest, he when he walked, his steps had to make this bell play this. Now, if he got ahead of God's plan and he was just going to walk the way that he wanted to walk, it might have played Jingle Bells or something like that. But he had been trained how to walk, that when he walked, his footsteps, the way he moved and the way that he stepped, the motion of his body would cause these bells to ring in such a way that they could even hear outside of the holiest of holies this song that his steps were singing through this bell, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Let me tell you, if we would pray up and stay prayed up like we should, every step we take when we walk into work and we're living the word and people begin to see it and make fun of it, but God looks and He hears, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. When you sisters begin to walk into Walmart and everybody's making fun of the way you dress, but you've been trained a certain way. You've been trained how to walk and you've been trained how to talk and you've been trained how to live by the word of God, and every footstep of the righteous is ordered of God and it begins to play in God's ears. Holy, holy, holy. No wonder Brother Branham cried out and said, get back in step. Get back in step. Your life isn't playing holy unto Him. Your life is playing, you know, whatever's down at the movie theater or whatever your boss wants you to go to or some Christmas party or some rock and roll thing. Don't get into that. Stay in step. Stay in line. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Now, there was a reason for this. God didn't just want, you know, to put Aaron through some rigmarole, you know, to train him how to play a song because God thought it would be funny or tedious. But there was a reason why he had to wear these veils and why they had to hear this certain song a certain way is because they had to recognize that there was still life in the tent.
Amen.
He says, and the only way that they know that that man was still alive, that God hadn't slayed him back there in behind the curtain, is because that noise. They could hear that bell, the bell ringing. He said, I tell you, the only way I know there's any life in the church, when a little noise gets started somewhere. He said, you know, just a little amen once in a while, or a little something, you know, make a little noise. Oh my, sometimes I wonder, is there still life in the church? I sure hope there is. But if there is, if Jesus comes by, there'll be noise somewhere.
Amen.
It may be on the front row, it may be on the back row, it may be in the middle somewhere, but there's something about it. I want to make sure you're still alive tonight.
Amen.
A little noise. You know, he said, just a little amen once in a while, or a little something, you know, make a little noise. He says, again, the end time evangelism, 1962, anything that's alive has emotion, and anything that's dead, and anything that doesn't have emotion is dead, rather. He says, excuse the expression. But I think we ought to bury some of our emotionless religion then because it's dead. The unconditional covenant, 1954. Amen. I believe in old-fashioned religion. That's what's the matter today. They say your religion is too much emotion. He said, I can prove to you scientific anything that hasn't got emotion is dead. So if your religion hasn't got a little emotion, you better bury it. That's right, for it's dead. That's right. Yes, sir. If a baby's born and it doesn't cry or do something, the baby's dead. He said, we've got too many dead-born babies in the church tonight. You talk about a statement. You talk about a statement. They got them far enough to shake the pastor's hand or to say that I believe God sent a prophet, or they got them far enough to sign their name on a book at a denomination somewhere. They got them far enough to stand up and say, I confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So does the devil's. They ran down there on the island when Jesus got off the boat in Gadara and said, we know that you're the Son of God. What do we have to do with you? The devils profess the same thing. It's got to be more than that. Brother Branham said it takes a birth in this age. It takes a token being applied. He said, I just read the quote today. He said the token, there was something about it. It was the chemistry of the blood was the token. He said back then it was a lamb, but he said today it's Jesus Christ's own blood. The chemistry of the blood is producing a token in our life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't try to get by without it. We got too many dead-born babies in the church tonight, he says. That's what's the matter with the church. It just doesn't understand. It hasn't never come to life. You know what they do when a little baby, when it's born? I've been watch him born. The doctor picks him up and gives him a little posterior protoplasma stimulation, and it wakes him up right quick, and he goes to squealing. If there's anything the Pentecostal church needs tonight is a good old-fashioned gospel spanking to wake him up the little thing. Get some of the starch out of him. Amen. If he said back there in 1954 to the Pentecostal church, what would he say to a lot of message churches today? Oh, may the Holy Spirit come by tonight and give us a good little posterior protoplasma stimulation to wake us up and recognize you don't have to live like that any longer.
All right.
To recognize you don't have to sit there and be ashamed to raise your hand or to cry out to God. In fact, God wants us to cry out to him, Brother Branham said.
Amen.
Believest thou this, 1951, he says, now, I'm not excited, I just feel a little good, see? Notice, I get a little noisy, but I don't mean nothing by it. If you felt like I did, you'd be noisy too, maybe. Oh, you know, they say that prophet of God, he never raised his voice. He stood right there behind that holy desk. What tapes have you been listening to? Not the ones I listen to, apparently. Are you sure you haven't been catching some of Joel Osteen's tapes that have been labeled wrong or something? He said he sat up there on the pulpit with his legs hanging over. He said he ran out in the middle of the aisle and began to roll up his pants legs. He said he began to look at that girl dancing around in his Baptist church, and he said, oh my. He said, they'll vote me out for sure. He said, I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. And he said, I began to think, he said, I wouldn't say anything about it because I didn't want to blaspheme if it was of the Holy Ghost. But he said, I was thinking it in my heart. Uh-huh. And he said, I began to think, I wonder if there's any scripture for that. And he said, I began to think about when Miriam got across the Red Sea there and she began to play the tambourine and the daughters of God began to dance in the spirit and to sing the praises of God. And he said, I began to think about little David when he began to dance. And he said, before I knew it, I was out there on the floor dancing with her.
Right.
That's my prophet. Amen. Some people, they have a mental picture in their head of what they think Brother Branham was, but they don't even have the same prophet that I do. They have him pictured as some little Baptist guy that just folded his hands and walked out to the pulpit and said, good evening, friends, and spoke very softly, never raised his voice, never walked out from behind the pulpit. Well, that's true. There were times that he did that, but you better listen a little further.
Amen.
Inspiration, 1956. We're stopping too much to see if we don't get a little bit too fanatically. He said, I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that's a fanatic. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that's a fanatic. That's right. You see people get up, you know, and you think, oh my, they just got in the flesh. Well, he said, I'm more afraid of you being afraid to do anything than I am of the fanatic. You know, I remember the story. I was thinking of it today, sitting in the parking lot waiting on my wife. Some of you brothers can relate to that. And I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for my wife to come out of a store. And I was thinking of the story that Brother Billy Paul tells about the little black lady that came to the tabernacle. And she sat over there near the stove. And he said, you know, when the end of the service came and the presence of God began to fall, or when Brother Branham would get to preaching really strong and she began to get a little excited, she'd get her purse and she began to swing it around her head. And he said the young men sitting there, they would count one, and she'd swing it around her head a second time. And he said we'd count two. And he said when she swung it around the third time, we'd all duck because we knew she was going to throw that purse. Now, she had done this enough that they recognized there's a pattern here, okay? This wasn't something somebody did once upon a time on a Wednesday night, but this was something the sister would get excited and do this enough that Brother Billy Paul knew to count and duck on three, okay? This was like, what's the lady that sings those Tidwell songs, kicking off her shoe? The McCameys. You go to a McCamey concert, you know she's going to kick off her shoe at some point in the concert. She's done it enough. You know, in my opinion, she's in the flesh, but I'd rather see her do that than some of those that sit up, you know, and sing so starchy and so high-trained that, you know, you'd think you was at a Catholic baptismal or something. I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that's a fanatic. Now, she did this enough to where they knew to count and duck, but I never heard him say that Brother Branham rebuked her and said, now you're getting in the spirit, you're getting in the flesh, sister. I've never heard that part of the testimony.
All right.
Maybe you have, but I've never heard that part of the testimony. We're so afraid of getting in the flesh sometimes that we don't even get in the spirit. Amen. Get in the spirit a little bit. Amen. Then you know, if it began to be a pattern and every night, you know, Brother Hoover did a Jericho march, I guess eventually I'd say, look, Brother Hoover, don't you think that that's just you after 17 services in a row? But until he does that, I don't want him to be scared to death to get in the spirit because he's afraid I'll think he's in the flesh. I heard Jack Cole a while back on a sermon. He said he got to dancing the night before and he said, somebody said, that was just you, Brother Jack. He said, well, of course it was. Who else do you think it would be? I'm more afraid of the person that's afraid than I am the person that's a fanatic. That's right. He says in Pride in 1955, God help us to get out of order once in a while. Now, I never heard this quote growing up, but this is what he said. God help us to get out of order once in a while. The trouble of it is you've got too much order. Uh-oh. He says, get out of order. I hope the church gets out of order long enough to get saved.
Amen.
The Impersonation of Christianity, 1957. And then to my amazement, he's talking about how when he was riding down through the valley there on his horse, and he said it was late at night, and he said it was a spooky place. He said there was these big old trees, and there had been a forest fire that had come through there, and it just singed them up, and these big old trees, willows, and different things. They were up there. They hadn't burnt to the ground, but they just kind of charred the outside of them real good. You know, they'd got hurt by a pastor over here, or they'd got hurt by this over there, or, you know, it hadn't completely burned them up, but it just, you know, they got hurt real bad, and they began to die out and have a little bit of less confidence in the ministry, and a little bit less confidence in the message, and a little bit less confidence in going to church, and because they'd been, you know, burned a little in the past. And so he began to ride through there, and he said the wind began to blow, you know. I believe it was Jesus that typed the Holy Spirit to the wind. He said, "The Spirit's like the wind; it bloweth where it listeth." And the winds begin to sweep through there. But he said, all those big old burnt-over trees could do was just moan and groan in the wind, creaking back and forth. Days of miracles are past. We don't have to go to church no more. We don't believe in preachers. We don't believe in healing. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. Groan and back and forth when the Spirit began to blow through. And as the wind began to blow down through there, he said, it was spooky. Let me tell you, I've been in some churches that it was a little spooky like that too. He says in the impersonation of Christianity in 1957, and then to my amazement, looking out in the bottom of the cones of these trees and their different seeds, down on the ground, not quite so high and not so big, but there was some undergrowth coming up, new trees coming up. And when the wind blew, they just frolicked and shook and jumped and quivered and went on. I said, if that isn't an old-fashioned revival, I never seen one. That's the children of God just rejoicing and frolicking in the blessings of God as it pours down. Well, something come to me said, they're green, they're young and green. He says, I'd rather be young and green and be flexible, have some life, than to be old and stiff and dead and have nothing. So even a little wildfire instead of no fire at all, he said. And as the winds blew, those little trees frolicked and just had a good old-fashioned Pentecostal revival. And I thought, why do you do that then? Would not they come up just the same if you didn't have these baptisms falling over them and shaking them? Aren't they trees just the same? But something says to me in my heart, yes, but every time I shake them, I'll loosen the roots so they can grow deeper.
Hallelujah.
Some of you are going through some things in your lives right now that's shaking you to the core. Maybe you've been shaken by finances. Maybe you've been shaken by physical problems. Maybe you've been shaken by family issues. Maybe you've been shaken by somebody that was close to you that walked off and left the message. Maybe you've been shaken just because you come to church here and you're receiving persecution from that. And it's shaking you back and forth. And you think, God, why do you keep shaking me? He's trying to loosen up the soil so your roots can grow down a little deeper. He's trying to get you a little bit better anchor, and sometimes he stirs up our nest a little bit to remind us, hey, it gets a little shaky sometimes, but you can depend on me.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he shakes us sometimes to remind us that we can depend on him. He said, every time I shake them, I loosen the roots so they can grow deeper.
Amen.
Now, you can sit there stiff and starchy and saying, I shall not be moved. Or when the Holy Spirit begins to fall, in the good times, in the bad times, in the valley, in the mountain, halfway up the hill or halfway down the other side, you can say, I'm going to praise him in the storm.
Amen.
I'm going to praise him in the good times. I'm going to praise him in the bad times. And when his Holy Spirit begins to come down and it begins to sway me back and forth, and everybody all around me, maybe this one thinks this and that one thinks that, but I'm not paying any attention to what this tree beside me thinks, whether it's old or green or burnt or new. I'm praising God for the wind that he's sending down upon my life to shake me and to move me out of my comfort zone a little bit, because he's anchoring me down deeper so that when the big winds come and the big storms of life come, I'm anchored down and it won't uproot me and take the very life from me. But I'll be anchored down because he swayed me back and forth and allowed me to cling on to him. Oh, every time I shake them, I loosen the roots so they can grow deeper. He said that's the way a great revival takes place in the city. Now, what is these new Pentecostal revivals? They're nothing but the product from the old tree. Exactly where the old trees died, God had a way to reproduce life.
Amen.
Just like when we get old and die out, God raises somebody else by us, like the tree, the seed, or anything else. Now, he goes on to say that they use the same Bible we do. But what is it? There's something about it. God and his choosing and his election. I want to say tonight, there's some young green trees that are coming up. That doesn't have a bit to do with your age more than anything. There's some of you, maybe you're 70 years old, maybe you're 50 years old, but because of the atmosphere that you came up in, you were still a little green. And maybe you believed it this way, and you'd sat under Brother so-and-so, and he taught it that way. But then the wind of the Holy Spirit began to move you back and forth. And maybe he moved you over here for a while, and he moved you over there for a little while. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to get you settled down and anchored, not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. But he would send a little wind every once in a while to stir your nest and get you anchored down. And you begin to realize, you know what? He's not doing that because I did something wrong. He's not doing that because he hates me. He's doing that because he loves me. And he's stirring my nest so I can anchor down a little tighter. And let me tell you, I don't care if you're a babe in Jesus Christ and you're just starting to get back up on your feet and walk a little. I'd rather be like that than be old and dead and starchy. And when the Holy Spirit moved, just sit there, regardless of your age, whether you're 12 or 120, and sit there and say, bless God, I'm not going to be moved. Don't worry, he won't move you. But he might snap you in two one day. Oh, but let us be green. Let us be flexible. Let us be pliable.
All right.
So that when the wind of the Spirit blows, he can lead us over here to pray for this one. And he can lead us over there to testify to that one. And he can lead us over here to witness to that one. And he can lead us over here to encourage this one. Oh, help us to be flexible tonight, Lord. Amen. If the musicians would come, let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it seems like so many times there's an image produced of the message or of Brother Branham that when we begin to look into the Word, we recognize it's not even the case sometimes. The things that he actually taught us and exhorted us and encouraged us to do, but it's just something that somebody has pictured in their mind and their imagination. Lord, that shouldn't shock us in this age that people would do that with Brother Branham. When there's 900 and something denominations that have done the same thing with our precious Lord Jesus. They pictured a Baptist Jesus, or they pictured a Methodist Jesus. They pictured a Pentecostal Jesus, or a Nazarene Jesus, a Oneness Jesus, or a Two-ness Jesus, or a Assembly of God Jesus, or a Seventh-day Adventist Jesus, or a Jehovah Witness Jesus. And they began to form in their imagination what they thought God should be, and they formed gods of their imaginations. It shouldn't surprise us that they would do the same thing with the message. And one would think, well, it was this way, and he really meant it that way, and this is really the way it should be. And they would pattern a message of their imagination, Father. But help us not just to go off of someone's opinion or idea, or what somebody teaches somewhere, or what somebody taught us from a child, or just what mommy or daddy or grandparents say. But Father, help us to go back to the original Word. Lord, your prophet told us when he was here, he said that he taught all that Paul taught, just the way that he taught it. Lord, all we have to do is to take a quick look at the books that Paul wrote in the book of Acts and recognize that there's many around the message that aren't teaching it like Paul taught it. They aren't living it like Paul taught it. Many of the sisters aren't even holding up a life of holiness the way that Paul taught it. Yet we've had so much revelation and restoration in this age. I wonder, how can we sit and say that we believe the same thing that Paul taught? Help us, Lord. Help us to be flexible to the Holy Spirit. Lord, when he would come in, Lord, you and your great mighty power would sweep over our building, Lord. Not just the physical building at 1221 Silver Street, Father, but Lord, the building, the temple that you'd want to dwell in. As I read Paul say today, know ye not, you are the temple of God. When the Holy Spirit would come by and begin to move by our way, help us not to be stiff and rigid and afraid to accept what he's wanting us to do or what he's leading us to do. But Lord, help us to be flexible so that he could mold us and make us and bend us, shape us into whatever image he would want us to be. To worship him any way that he would want us to worship. To praise him unashamedly any way that he would want us to praise him. To lift up our voices with praise to the King. Not to think what our neighbor might think or what our spouse might think or our children or our friend or some visitor at the church, Lord. But Lord, may we seek you. Lord, whatever you would have us to do, may we be flexible, Father, to where you could shape us into your own image. Lord, when the winds of the Holy Spirit would come through, Lord, help us not to stand unmoving, but to bend to your will, Father. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for all that you do. Lord, we just want to praise you a little while tonight. Lord, help us to take heed to the things that the Spirit's trying to tell us. Lord, the Pharisees never did like any noise. They never did like any rejoicing. They never did like a great move of the Holy Spirit. Oh, sure, they loved the Word in its written form, but when it became life, when it became flesh in front of them, and Jesus began to run them out of the temples, or when he began to weep, or when he began to shout with a loud voice, or when the disciples began to sing praises and hosannas, all they could say is, couldn't you all be a little more quiet? Oh, God, help us to recognize these spirits don't die, but help us to recognize that neither does your spirit, Father, that you're still anointing men, that you're still anointing women. Not just anointing to preach, although we believe that you do that. Not just anointing to speak in tongues or to interpret or to prophesy. We believe you do that, Father. But Lord, you're anointing some to be the right kind of housewife. You're anointing some to be the right kind of child, that somebody could see a lived life down at their high school, that somebody could see a lived life down on their job. Lord, that you're anointing people to live the Word. Lord, we appreciate it. We want to quote it. We want to memorize it. We want to learn it. But if we don't live it, what good is all our learning doing us, Father? The Bible said some are ever learning, but never really coming to the knowledge of the truth. But Lord, may it be a lived life. Lord, as my mind goes back to the words of the prophet, he said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville tonight thousands of lived voices. God, may each one of us here tonight, Lord, may it be truly our heart's desire to be one of those lived voices. Whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever the approach, people might call us fanatical or emotional or holy rollers. That's okay. They did our fathers that went before us in the day of Pentecost. They did Brother Branham. They did these other great men of God down through the ages. Lord, even when you were here, if they called the master of the house Beelzebub, what should we expect for them to say about us? But Lord, help us not to get our eyes on being men pleasers, but may we be God pleasers, Father. May we do that which is pleasing to you, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We got a prayer request that came in from Brother Stephen. It says, I have a cousin who has a 4-year-old boy. His name is Austin. This boy will have open heart surgery on Thursday. Let's just bow our heads together and agree together for this prayer request. Let's agree together for these other requests that came in, the different ones that we've read before, this young man, 17 years old in Colorado, and the different ones facing surgeries and different things. Brother Furman had texted me the other day, and I believe it's a friend of Sister April's that has a grandson that's 10 years old and had a stroke. And he wasn't responsive, couldn't talk. We had a word of prayer, and within about 12 hours, the text came back that he was talking on his own, moving again, and things like that. So we know God's the healer. I want to remember that little boy. I was telling God when I prayed, I've got a little 10-year-old boy. If it was my little boy, I'd want somebody to pray for me, pray for him. I don't know what the effects are, if this young man is still having any side effects from the stroke or not, but let's just agree together tonight for him too, that God will give him a complete recovery. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that have went forth tonight. Lord, your healing power, and Lord, how that you've allowed many that were in the hospital just a few days ago to go home. Lord, to see Sister Patty just after having a surgery on Monday, Lord, and sitting here in the service. Lord, little Anna that was just in the hospital, I went by and prayed for a couple days ago, and to hear that she's out of the hospital and doing better. To hear the testimonies of what you're doing for others. Lord, when we bring these requests and petitions before you, it gives us faith that we can come boldly before the throne of God and not just pray half-heartedly, but that we can come expecting a miracle, that we can come expecting a testimony to come forth from these things. Lord, I ask for this little child, 10 years old, that had this stroke. Father, we've seen you already touch him and begin a good work in him. Father, I don't believe you would do that and then stop the work, Father. But Lord, may you give him a complete healing. Lord, we know you're able. Lord, for this little 4-year-old boy that's having open heart surgery tomorrow, Lord, I think back to Brother Jimmy's son, Jared, when he was just a little boy, had to go through that. Lord, and Lord, you've given many years of his life and made him healthy, Father. I just ask that you be with this young man, 4 years old, undertaking this great surgery. Father, Lord, may you guide the doctors. May you give him wisdom and strength. We know you're able to heal him even before the doctors touch him, if that be your will, Father. But Lord, if your will be that the healing would come through the form of surgery, may you guide every aspect. Lord, may it be the most successful surgery those surgeons have ever had. Lord, may you give the child good health and many years of life. May he come to know about you, Father, and the power of your resurrection. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for the other requests that are on the people's hearts, you know about them, Father. Lord, even as they formed them into words sitting there in their pews, or as they thought them in their minds, you already knew about it, but you wanted them to speak it, Father. Now they've spoken it. They come in faith, believing and agreeing that you're going to move on the scene for these petitions, Lord. Lord, come and honor your word tonight, we pray. We know you back up your word. We've seen it over and over and over again. We have confidence in you tonight, Father. We have no reason to doubt. As Brother Branham said, it would be a sin for us to disbelieve after all that we've seen you do. Help us, Jesus. We thank you for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, you are holy. You are holy. Holy.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, you. the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands to worship. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Oh, you deserve the
deserve the glory. We love
understand you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord, you are worthy.
Yes, you are.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
You are worthy. Lord, you are worthy. We love you, Jesus.
Softly tonight. Amen. It's been good to be in His presence. Oh, it's so sweet to be in His presence. There's nothing like it. Sister Sizemore came up for prayer, but she never got to tell us what she needed. The Holy Spirit already knew. Amen. God's good, isn't He? God's good. He knows all about it. Amen. He can speak with words that we don't even know how to utter sometimes. Amen. He's good. Amen. Sometimes when we don't even know how to express it ourselves, He just comes on the scene and says, "That's okay. I know all about it." Amen. Sister Emery, Sister Jean Emery, we got a prayer request here that she's bleeding, I guess. So we want to remember her in prayer. Amen. Just felt impressed. Brother Furman giving this testimony about his little boy getting hit by a baseball and bleeding, and them reading Ezekiel 16:6. I've seen this scripture. I've seen nosebleed after nosebleed after nosebleed healed. I've seen brain bleeds healed. I've seen women issues healed. I've seen a sliced open finger cover itself back over without a scar. Amen. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read this scripture. Sister Emery's not here, but when I prayed for Sister Savannah Virgin's grandfather in the hospital with the brain bleed, he wasn't physically there with me either.
So I believe we can apply it. Many, my wife and my sister-in-law and different ones have called over the phone many miles away. God's not a God that is limited by distance. He said, my arm's not too short that I can't reach it. Amen. Let's just read this for her tonight. Ezekiel 16, verse 6. And when I passed by thee, and I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Let me read it again. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Dear Heavenly Father, for Sister Emery tonight, Lord, the prayer request just says she's bleeding. I don't know if it's an internal bleeding, if it's a hemorrhage, if it's a brain aneurysm, if it's some type of internal bleed or external bleed. I don't know what it is, Father, but I know that you're the God that heals all our diseases. I know that there's nothing that's too big for you, Father. Lord, as we agree together and bind our faith together, as we read this scripture that we've seen bleeds of many different kinds healed over and over and over, and just honoring this scripture in faith and having a word of prayer, Father, we agree together for our sister. May a testimony come forth that from this very hour that the bleeding stopped. Maybe the doctors didn't even know how to explain it. Something supernatural that you did to her body. But Lord, we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Lord, may by the time that we get back to church Sunday, Lord, there'll be a testimony that we can share of your healing power. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love your presence. Lord, we just thank you for this atmosphere of praise, for this atmosphere of worship. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're not scared of emotion. Lord, we don't anchor our experience on emotion, but we thank you that emotion came along with it. We thank you that we can lift up our hands to you and pray and cry and give you praise for what you've done in our life. Lord, I thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I can feel it sometimes. Lord, it's so good to know that your presence is here. You promised you would be. Even if we didn't feel it, Lord, we would still believe your promise, Lord. But like the little boy holding the kite, the man said, how do you know it's up there? Couldn't see it. It was way beyond the clouds. But he had a little string that he had in his hand. He said, every once in a while, I feel it pulling on me. Every once in a while, I feel that little tug. I feel that little pull. I know you're up there, Father. We may not be able to see you visibly as far as a physical body, but yet when I look around and see you moving through the body of Jesus Christ here on the earth, I can see you. When I look around and see you moving in nature and moving in your word and, Lord, moving all around us and healing and miracles and signs and wonders, I do see you, Father. But, Lord, it's sure nice to feel you every once in a while, Father. Sure nice to feel that pull, Father, to come up a little higher. We love you, Father. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Let's try this tonight. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the spirit
Wednesday night service like this, you can testify, we came to hear God's word. And with each line and phrase, our God was calling us to live a higher plane. Oh, now there's a deep that calls to the deep. It's alive. Thank you.
already done. Hallelujah, it's already done. We praise your name. Battle is over. It is won. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise your name. This battle, it's over. Victory is won. It's already done. Touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. And then your life, it will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. A woman tried many physicians. Oh, she grew worse, so did Jesus. That's all. precious blood stained. Oh,